Hello, everyone. Today, we got a solo episode. We got some things to talk about. It's been a while since done Nerd Talk. I didn't want to wait too long before I did another episode. Because we're at the beginning of the year where there's, like, nothing to talk about. But we got Fantastic Four casting, Deadpool and Wolverine trailer. We got a few things. And Ian's on a snowboard trip right now, so that's why I'm doing a solo episode. But yeah, let's get into it. We got Fantastic Four was officially cast. I believe this was already leaked because I feel like I remember seeing this. And then it was officially announced. I was like, oh yeah, I already knew that. So we got Pedro Pascal as Mr. Fantastic, Vanessa Kirby as Sue Storm, Joseph Quinn as Johnny Storm, and Ebon Moss Bachrock, I don't know, however you pronounce that dude's name, as The Thing. I'm not sure how I feel about this casting. I think they're all solid actors. I think Vanessa Kirby is perfect as Sue Storm. Everyone else, I don't know. Again, acting ability, I think they're all pretty good, but I'm not quite sure. I think the one I'm most iffy on is Joseph Quinn as Johnny Storm. I don't know how I feel about him as Johnny Storm. Maybe it's because I think Chris Evans was so good as Johnny Storm in the original Fantastic Four movies. As much as those movies suck, he was so perfect as Johnny Storm. So maybe that's why I'm a little iffy on Joseph Quinn. But I don't know. We'll see. I thought the trailer was great. Not the trailer. The poster was really good. The hand-drawn poster. I love that. It wasn't just like a floating head, freaking Photoshop, awful-looking poster. So that was cool. I like it. It looks good. But who knows? We don't have, like, I don't think a director or writer attached. So, yeah, we just have a cast. We'll see how this goes. Hopefully Marvel, you know, Marvel's been talking for a while now about how it's like, we're going quality over quantity. We're actually going to be making good decisions now. Because after the Infinity War saga and all that ended, we have no clue what's going on. We hired, like, a man who likes to beat up women as our main villain, which I guess, you know, really gets into character, I guess. You know, we hired an actual evil person to play an evil guy. So maybe Marvel was thinking two steps ahead with that one. But, you know, that kind of... Kang's kind of gone now. So we don't know what's going to be going on. But this, they could bring in Doctor Doom. And Doctor Doom could be the next big baddie. But, yeah, I don't know. Fantastic Four doesn't have a single good movie. Which is kind of interesting to think about. Because, you know, there's Marvel's first family and all that. And we don't have an actual good movie for them. So hopefully they get someone's actually good to do this. It's insane how much Marvel, like the MCU, has fumbled the bag. Like they had the movie going audience like by the nuts. Like everyone was like, yeah, we'll go see any Marvel thing. This is so cool. Like the fact that you can consistently go spend your like $15 on a movie ticket and like have a good night generally. It's like, yeah, I'll bet on that. And then just... lately, like the past couple phases, it's been like, no, you can't bet on that anymore. You'll go and you'll have a horrible time. You'll have Ant-Man Quantumania. You'll have just a bad time. And it's also saying that they've like fumbled a few good things they've had. Like Shang-Chi, that was, I feel like, one of the last Marvel movies that everyone universally agreed, like, this was good. Like, I don't think Shang-Chi was anything special or anything amazing, but it was good. Like, I had a fun time. The action was cool. The villain was much better than most Marvel movies. And that came out in 2021, and I don't know if we have any news on any type of sequel or them doing anything with him, other than I think he's going to be a part of the new Avengers. That's it. Other than that, we don't have anything. Like, if I was Marvel, I'd just be like, first off, goodbye, Awkwafina. I can't stand Awkwafina. I'm sorry. Just, no. The world needs less Awkwafina. She's going to ruin Kung Fu Panda 4. That has me very depressed right now. But, aside from that, I would like, you know, you think you'd have something going on there. I know Simu Liu's kind of gotten... everyone hates that guy. That guy just... people hate him. Anyway, let's get sidetracked. Let's talk about the Deadpool and Wolverine trailer that came out at the Super Bowl, which is so funny that so many movies are doing this now, where like they spend the $1 billion it costs to get like 30 seconds for a Super Bowl commercial, and they're like, watch the full trailer on YouTube. It's so funny, because like back in my day, you used to get the full trailer on TV, but now they're like, nah, it's more economical to just give you a little teaser. Just tickle you a little bit and be like, hey, you want the full thing? Come over here. But yeah, the trailer was good. I liked it. I'm excited. I'm still a little hesitant because of the fact that it's like, it's Shawn Levy, isn't it? Yeah, Shawn Levy's the director. The guy that did Free Guy, Night at the Museum. Like, he's done some real steel. He's done some movies that like aren't bad, but he hasn't done anything that's proven to me that he's like, yeah, he's the one. Like, this is going to be great. But... who knows? Dang, who are all these other people? I'm looking at the writers that are credited on Deadpool. Zeb Wells is credited? No way. Please tell me this is not real. on Google, they have Ryan Reynolds, Sean Levy, Rhett Reese, Paul Wernick, which are like the guys that wrote the other movies other than Sean Levy. So it's like, makes sense the director's involved. Ryan Reynolds is more heavily involved than Ryan. Makes sense. Rhett Reese and Paul Wernick were the guys that wrote the other movies. Then it's got like, who the heck is Lizzie Molyneux? Oh, she's did Bob's Burgers. Wendy Molyneux, she also did Bob's Burgers. And Zeb Wells. So these other people, hopefully it's not too many cooks in the kitchen, because that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 writers, if this is correct. Hopefully that's not too many, because I love the first Deadpool. I think the first Deadpool is still top 5 comic movie for me. I love the first Deadpool. The second one is fine. It's like a standard good comic book movie. It's like, it's a good Marvel movie. It has some cool stuff. I don't know, an obese child with a funny accent just annoys the crap out of me. That's what brought that movie down for me a lot. That kid, like, this just fat as hell kid, just go, hey, oi, Deadpool, my prison wallet, hey. And it's like, I just kill yourself. I don't, like, can Juggernaut just squash this child, please? That kid annoyed the crap out of me so much in that movie. Like, the rest of it's pretty good. Cable's cool. Josh Brolin kills it. Getting a comic accurate Juggernaut was cool. There's some really cool action in it. But man, that kid bogs that movie down so much. Domino was cool. There's like genuinely heartfelt stuff again, just like the first one. I like what they did with Vanessa. Like, it's pretty sad. Man, when the freaking unplugged version of what's it called plays? That's man, why did I just completely forget the song? Man, now I'm just lost in a loop thinking about what the song was. Anyways, yeah, that was sad. It's good. I liked Deadpool 2, but the kid bogs it down so much for me, and Deadpool 1 is so much better. Something that I really liked about seeing that they've done throughout this entire franchise so far is they nailed the Deadpool suit in the first one, then they like didn't change it at all. Which is great. The suit's perfect. It's not like Shazam, where it's like the first one, hey, that suit's perfect. And then the second one, they just change it for no reason. They do that a lot in comic movies, where it's like, man, the suit's perfect. And then they just switch it up in the sequels, because like, we just have to. It's like, no, you don't. I'm glad Deadpool hasn't changed that. But anyways, let's get more into this trailer. We didn't get any actual Wolverine in it. He teased him, but you don't see it. And I'm like, man, why is not? It's all been leaked. We know it. They've even addressed the leaks. But then I'm like, oh yeah, that all happened on social media. Not everyone's on Twitter. Like, your average Joe that's watching the Super Bowl season is like, oh, Wolverine and Deadpool are teaming up, that's sick, and had no idea. Like, your average person with an actual life that isn't chronically online probably didn't know about this. So it's like, oh yeah, there are people that are normal and not like me. So it's good to remember that. I loved seeing the patch teaser. That was cool. Seeing, you know, Wolverine in his white blazer at the poker table. I was like, ooh. That's gonna be cool. Action looks pretty cool. Humor was on point. Standard for Deadpool. Visuals look cool. I'm excited getting the freaking what's it called TVA or whatever involved. That could be interesting. Having Deadpool trying to fix things with the timeline, and I don't know. It sounds cool. I thought the trailer was actually really good. Ryan Reynolds is the perfect Deadpool, of course, and it's nice having a lead actor that is so involved and loves the character that much. He's not just playing the character. He's not just someone that's like, yeah, you know, I'm just along for the ride. He actually likes the character, and that's really cool. I hope the movie's good. I don't know, though, because, like I said, there's a lot of writers involved with it, and Sean Levy, I'm not sure if he's got what you need for it. But I'm optimistic. I hope it's good. I'm excited. The trailer was really good, and it's, I think, the highest viewed trailer, like, ever. It passed Endgame, but also, it turns out they included every single person watching the Super Bowl in that tally, so it was, like, 365 million people watched it, but then it came out, and it was, like, I don't know, 100, 110 million people, something, watched the Super Bowl, and it's, like, they included that. It sucks that you can't just go to, like, oh, the trailer was posted by the Marvel YouTube channel. Look at all the views there. I think they just, like, put every single person that ever posted the trailer together. And there's so many different sources. Like, you search the Deadpool and Wolverine trailer, you get, like, Joe Schmo posted the trailer. This other person posted the trailer. Billy and Ryan Reynolds' YouTube channel posted the trailer. It's not, like, just, like, one source is where you go. So, it's hard to really calculate. But even if you take 100 mil off, 260 million people watching that trailer is insane, and shows that Deadpool can still pull when Marvel uses their heavy hitters. Marvel's not like, hey, the Marvels. Everyone loves those characters, right? Everyone loves them, right? It's like, no one cares about them. Sorry. It's like Deadpool and Wolverine. Yeah, of course people want to see that. So it's cool to see that like people are still interested. You just got to give them the stuff they're interested in. You can't just give them schlock and just be like, hey, but it's Marvel, so you like it, right? It's like, no, that's not how this works. But yeah, trailer was good. I'm optimistic. I'm excited. Comes out in July. We'll see how it goes. Madam Web came out. Didn't see it. Didn't care to see it. It is hilarious to see that, from what I've seen from interviews, it appears that everyone involved thought they got cast in a MCU movie when they first got cast. I just saw multiple people that were like, yeah, I knew blah, 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 who was in Marvel, and I asked them, should I take this job? And they're like, yeah, it's a fun time. It's good. And it's like, oh, you thought you were going to be a part of the MCU, not Sony's just bastardized freaking Spider-Man Marvel Universe. That's tough. Also, I don't know if it's just me, but Dakota Johnson seems extremely unlikable. I don't know why. She just gives off a vibe of just being a very, like, unlikable person. I don't know why. And, man, I've seen some of her her line deliveries in that movie are freaking tough. Granted, not necessarily her fault. You know, everything involved and the director and the studio and all that. But, yeah, that movie looks just awful. So I didn't care to go see it. And I'm not horny enough to just be like, oh, Sydney Sweeney's in it, I'll go see it. Unlike some of you degenerates, you know. I know there's a lot of y'all out there. Probably the majority of the people I went to see this just because, hey, Sydney Sweeney's in it, she's hot. But yeah, I didn't care to see this. I'm not going to see Kraven, even though Kraven's my favorite Spider-Man villain. That freaking trailer is awful. Don't care to see it. I've never seen Morbius. That came out. Didn't care. Still haven't seen it. I don't care about any of this. Sony, I don't understand. This has got to be like a money laundering scheme, right? Like, why is Sony doing this? Why are they allowing this to happen? Why are they like, hey, let's get the most untalented people imaginable to make movies. And let's also like interfere as much as we can. Boom. It's like, why? Let's change everything about what people love about these characters as well. But also, no one loves Madam Web. No one has ever cared about Madam Web other than the animated series. That's the only time anyone has ever been like, oh, Madam Web's kind of cool. But then again, everyone who liked the animated series was never was like, you know, I'd really love to see what's going on with Madam Web outside of Spider-Man. I'd really love to see her on her own solo adventure. No one ever said that, you know? To where, like, Kraven... I still don't think Kraven should really get a movie. I don't think he should just be in a Spider-Man movie. But I could see the appeal for like, oh, a solo Kraven movie could be interesting, potentially. But not when you strip him of everything that makes him Kraven. Then it's like, what are you, like, dumb? What is going on here? It's so, just a bunch of morons at Sony. For years now, too. It's not like it's just happened. It's been going on for a while. I don't understand. But at least Tom Hardy's still having fun with Venom. Even though both Venom movies aren't, like, the greatest, they're still, like, fun enough. You can enjoy them. They're not great, but you can enjoy them. We'll see how Venom 3 is. Probably the same as the first two. I don't think there's, like, any other comic book news to really talk about. But what I want to talk about is The Killer, which, David Fincher made the movie The Killer based off a comic book by a French guy called The Killer. And I just read the comic because the entire thing, which is 13 chapters, and it's not like 13 issues of an American comic where it's like 24 pages. No, these are like, I think like 56, 57 pages per chapter. It was, I believe, 750 pages. I just blew through this week. It was very fast. I read it pretty fast for being like a thick 750 pages, thick omnibus. But I think part of that might have been because, like, I wasn't the biggest fan of the art. So generally when I read a comic book, I kind of, like, I enjoy the art. And, like, you know, I'm admiring it and, like, really looking at all of it. And this, I kind of just, like, peeked at it and just, like, kept going. But, yeah, it's, they reprinted it. They did a second edition because of, you know, the movie. It, like, has on there, saying, you know, like, a Netflix film. But yeah, it's 750 pages and it was only $30. Like, it was super cheap. I saw it on Amazon. I was like, oh yeah, I'll definitely get that. I want to see how that is. But yeah, it was okay. It wasn't as good as I thought it would be. I really loved the movie. I honestly did not expect the comic to be much like the movie because I figured that I was like, I don't think Fincher really cares about actually faithfully adapting a comic book. But who knows? Maybe he does. But I think this is, This is, I don't know if there's more to this because the way it ended, it says the complete killer though, but made me think, I was like, is there more to this comic? And I haven't looked to see if there is, but I feel like there is, even though it says the complete killer. I probably should read more into that. But either way, it's like the first 13 issues of it, 13 chapters. And all right, so let's start with the art, I guess. The art, I think the colors are really good. The artist does the colors as well. His name's Mats. Freaking, yeah, Mats. These are French guys that made this comic. They got silly made-up names. But the art was kind of like webcomic quality. I saw a lot of people, like, all the reviews and stuff, like, man, the art's so amazing. And there's some cool stuff, some cool layouts with the action. It was actually, like, I enjoyed it. I was like, that looks interesting. But as far as everything else, like, I don't know. Maybe it just wasn't for me. I think it was like reading a webcomic as far as the art. Like, it was like looking at a webcomic, I should say. The writing was good. The story was pretty interesting for a lot of stuff that happened. The problem is the main killer, the main guy, he's, like, you find out his name partway, like, in the book, but I won't say what it is because no one actually knows his name. There's only just one person that says it at one point. The killer's just, like, a pretentious asshole, and he's just not very interesting. Like, for instance, there's a part where they talk about, like, you could be the James Bond, blah, blah, and then in his inner monologue, he says, James Bond is a right-wing imperialist hero. And it's like, okay, we're dealing with this type of dumbass. So yeah, everything, he's like very much a pessimist throughout the entire book. He's like, there's no such thing as good or evil. There's just doing what you can for yourself, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, it gets kind of annoying. It's like, oh my goodness, I wish someone would kill the killer. There are other interesting characters in it, though. There's a lot of tits, a lot of titties in this book, constantly. Yeah, there's a lot of that. The killer himself, it's just not like, everyone else in the book I find I like more than the killer. And I don't mean that in terms of like, the main character has to be likable. No, I don't think the main killer has to be likable, but I think you have to kind of more understand where it's coming from. And with him, I just didn't really care where he was coming from. Like, there are other people there. He has he forms a trio later on in the book with a guy called Mariano, who's like a narco, and then another guy called Haywood, who is a former like Navy SEAL and a CIA and a bunch of other stuff. And those two guys that he works with, you understand where they're coming from. Mariano is this, like, Colombian drug lord, or works for, like, a drug lord. He's a narco. And he kind of doesn't like what America has done to the Latin American countries. And he, like, his whole thing is trying to prop up his, like, Colombia and Venezuela and, like, the Latin American countries to try to make them better and try to fix things. And so you understand where he's coming from. He's not a good guy. He's done a lot of horrible things, but you understand where he's coming from. Haywood is a guy that fully bought into America and was like, America's the best. Like, I'm going to become a Navy SEAL. I'm going to work for the CIA, blah, blah. And then he slowly realized that, like, oh, America's not everything I believed is true. And, like, he kind of feels betrayed by his country. And so then he's just like, I'm just going to work for myself and figure out things for myself because this is not it. It's like, all right, so you understand where he's coming from. Where the killer is kind of just like, man, like the whole time he's just like going on about how nothing really matters and he's in it for himself and blah, 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 blah. And it's like, and there's a part where something happens where I will get into spoilers for the book. I don't want to spoil that part specifically just in case if someone happens to go and want to read it. But there's a thing where it happens where it really makes you feel like he's really an asshole, because there's something where he runs into someone from his past, and it's like, yeah, this guy's really just not good. He's also constantly cheating on his wife, but and he also mentions like part another thing that's like he's just a person that I hate. Where in the book, one of the guys he's talking, I think it was Haywood's, like, oh yeah, you're freaking cheating on your wife with this one girl. He's like, Haywood, don't tell me you believe in that like stupid crap like monogamy and being faithful. It's like, this guy is just a piece of work. And it's not really clear in the book if it's like something where like him and his wife just have an open marriage and she's just cool with it, or if she even knows about it or no. I can't really tell, but he has a son later on. It really feels like real slimy and weird. But yeah, I just like, I didn't care for the main character at all. And again, I don't think a main character has to be likable, but they have to be interesting. I didn't really find a pirate really interesting. I think the most interesting thing is the beginning, where his hit is the one from the movie. Pretty much where he's like staked out across from this penthouse and he's waiting for this guy to take him out, and he's there for so long, and things are, he's not sure what's going on. He doesn't like being cooped up, and he almost kills himself, and it's, like, really interesting. It's done really well. And then, unlike in the movie where everything's, of course, you know, it's Fincher, so the tension is there, and he's really good at that type of stuff, making you sweat. And this, when the target shows up, he just instantly kills the target and, like, everyone around the target. Because the movie, the thing is, like, he, like, everything's going really slow. He's waiting to see them, like, open the curtains. He's waiting for the target to get in the right position and blah, blah, and it takes a while. And this, like, sees target, shoots a target, someone gets in the way, kills that person, then finally shoots a target, then shoots everyone else around, and everything goes to crap. But in the movie, it's, like, very drawn out, and I liked how it was drawn out in the movie. The movie doesn't really follow the comic that much at all. It follows, like, the first five chapters very loosely. Like, just, it takes bits and pieces, and I think Fincher definitely added to the, Michael Fassbender, that's who I was thinking of. Michael Fassbender, like, really added to the killer, and he did a great job with him, and they did a good job as not making him quite as pretentious as he is in the comic. The comic, he's, like, so pretentious, it's very annoying. But Michael Fassbender made him much more interesting and likable in the movie. And I like the changes that they made in the movie, which generally, if you know me, you know, I like when things are faithful to the comic. I like when adaptions are very faithful to the comic. But this, I was happy with the liberties they took. But yeah, he constantly goes from place to place killing people, and he never really has consequences for anything, which is something I was kind of upset about, because he kind of just, like, he goes from one place to do a hit, and he does it, and then he's fine. Like, nothing ever really happens. There's only one part where things kind of go, like, tits up a little bit, and then he's just fine. I thought it was interesting how the book dealt with time, because it's not linear at all with how things go. The only thing that's, like, linear is the killer's inner monologue, like, his narration. Like, the narration is linear, obviously, but everything that, like, the art, what you're actually seeing on the page isn't. Like, it jumps around constantly, and I like that. I like how that was handled. That was cool. It's just... my main problem is with the killer. He's just so pretentious and annoying. It's like, you're just annoying. And I wanted him to get his comeuppance and die. But he doesn't. He just gets away with everything. There's only one part, like, at the beginning, he messes up that one hit, and a cop follows him, and then he just kills the cop, and he's fine, and nothing ever happens with that. And I was like, oh, okay. And in the end, he doesn't really get any consequence. Like, every time he might get caught or something, the people that catch him are like, how would you like to work for us and be the killer for us? And he's like, okay, give me my $1 million. So, like, here's $1 million. And then he goes and continues doing it. And he's also very selfish. And there's also partway through the book just randomly Cuban propaganda. Like, Castro is actually a pretty cool guy, not that bad. And it's like, really? I didn't, It's interesting that they just randomly did that. I don't know. Maybe, I don't know if, like, French people generally like Cuba a lot and think Castro's really cool. But, yeah, that was just random. Partway through the book, there's just, like, a bunch of Cuban propaganda where it's like, you know, if you really think about it, the U.S. is much worse than Cuba, than Castro. And Castro's actually a pretty cool guy. It's like, I don't know if you know a whole lot about Castro if you're thinking that. But, certainly interesting there. But yeah, also, this was a French comic made by French people that was translated to English, and something I think they didn't translate was, like, the sound effects, you know, like boom bang pow. When they shoot someone, it says, like, paw or, like, paf, and I'm like, that must be, like, bang in French, because I'm like, it took me a second to realize, like, I was like, why does it keep saying, like, paw when they shoot someone? Like, that's not the sound a gun makes. Like, who the hell says paw? Like, why is it shooting a gun up? It's like, I don't think that's... I was like, oh, that must be, like, they didn't translate, like, the French sound effect. They just must have translated, like, the actual, you know, dialogue, but not the French sound effects. So it's like, paw, paf. So, yeah, but if you're going in expecting anything like the movie, it's not really at all. The first five chapters, a little bit, but overall, not that much. I love the movie, too. Like, the movie I thought was great. If you listen to our top movies last year, it made it my top five. It was one of my favorite movies from last year. I thought it was really well done. I hope they do more. I'm looking at Amazon right now. It's looking like there might be more past this complete killer, but I don't I don't know. I can't tell if these other volumes are ones that are included in the Complete Killer or not. I don't know if the killer's still going on. Or this, it looks like this is pub. Wait. This was published in December of 2022. So 2 years ago it was published. Okay. So maybe they've done more killers since then. Because at the end of this, I kept thinking, like, is this going to be the type of comic where he gets away with everything and then in the end he gets, like, a bullet in the head? It's like, no. He just hides out in the end. It's like, oh, okay. So he doesn't really get any comeuppance at all. Like, there's not really any, there's no consequences for anything he does, like, ever. And so, yeah. But, it's an interesting book. I didn't hate my time with it. Like I said, it was an easy read. Like, I read through it super fast. It made me think of, I've been reading Vinland Saga over, like, the past year. Whenever I have money to burn, I just get a new volume of Vinland Saga, and I've read, like, the first 9 volumes, I think, right now. And those are all, like, 300-400 pages, something like that, and I go through those so fast. But I think that's partially because, same with this, where it's like, the art in Vinland Saga isn't bad, but it's kind of like, it looks like what 80% of other anime manga art looks like. So I just kind of like look at it. I just like glance at it. I'm like, all right. And then I just like keep going. To where with comics with art that I truly enjoy, I like take my time really looking at it. And so that's why I think I read through like The Killer fast, because like the art was just kind of meh for the most part for me. So kind of like, I'm not really my, I don't know, maybe, I don't know if other people feel that way when it comes to like comics with art they don't really care for. But yeah, that's the only thing, because, you know, that's half the comic book, so that's also part of it. So I think the plot was interesting. I think how stuff moved around was cool. There were definitely some elements that I liked, some storytelling elements that I really enjoyed, but the main thing was the main character I just found to be pretentious and annoying. Like, he annoyed me throughout the entire comic. I was waiting for something, but it was like, no, there's still like not any bit of this character that I care about at all. And so, yeah, when the entire comic, I'm hoping he gets his comeuppance, he never does. But, yeah, I feel like there was one other thing. Oh, what did I just watch? Oh, I watched Django, the 1966 Django, not Django Unchained, which Django Unchained needs to come to 4K already, dude. I'm annoyed. I don't want to freaking buy the Blu-ray again, because I want the, or buy the Blu-ray, because I bought the DVD forever ago. I don't have it anymore. It's like, I want to watch Django again, but I don't want to buy the Blu-ray, because I know a 4K is going to come out eventually, because they've done the 4K for a bunch of Tarantino movies, but they haven't done it for Django Unchained. But anyways, I watched 1966 Django, and it's a spaghetti western, which means, you know, it was done in Italy by an Italian director and everything. The annoying thing about it, though, is that I didn't even think about it, because, you know, like other spaghetti westerns, like Good, Bad, and the Ugly, and the, you know, that whole Dollars trilogy, you have an English-speaking actor. And in those, what Sergio Leone did was he didn't, like, really record audio with when he was filming, so he just dubbed everything over. So when Clint Eastwood's talking, it's okay, because they can kind of match it up, because what's dubbed is the same as what he's speaking. But in Django, everyone's speaking Italian, and I didn't even think about that. And I looked it up after the movie, and I was like, man, nothing's lining up. This is awful. And also, on top of nothing lining up at all, as far as the dub goes, the performances for the English dub are horrendous. Everyone's awful, especially the main guy. I was like, oh, I should have watched this in Italian with English subtitles. I should have done that. That's what I realized afterwards when I Googled it, because I was like, this is really bad. The movie was good, though. I still enjoyed it. There's still some cool stuff in it. It's very messy and not quite as, like, tight as Sergio Leone's westerns, as other Spanish westerns, like Sergio Leone's Dollars trilogy. So, yeah, it was it was good, though. It's about this freaking Union soldier that comes upon this woman who's getting, like, just tortured by these Mexicans, and then the KKK shows up and kills the Mexicans, and then they're like, hey, we're gonna do some bad things to you, lady, because you got touched by the dirty Mexicans. And the Union soldier comes up and kills the KKK guys. And then he's like, all right, lady, let's go into town. And also, the Union soldier, Django, he has a coffin with him. It's sick. And he looks so cool. He looks awesome, by the way, which is also part of what sucks about the guy that did the English dub being so bad, because Django looks awesome. His, like, Union fit is sick. The guy himself looks super dope. Like, he looks cool. And, yeah, he goes to this town. He kills, like, all the KKK there, which is pretty cool. And, the KKK looks like such retards, too. I love that Django Unchained, like, mentioned how dumb the hoods look. It's like, you guys just look like a bunch of idiots with the hoods. I was like, these guys wear red hoods, and they look so just mentally challenged with those freaking hoods on. But he goes and he kills all those guys with a Gatling gun, because it turns out inside of his coffin, it ain't a dead body or nothing. He's got a Gatling gun in there, which is sick. Or like some type of machine gun. Actually, I don't think it was a Gatling gun. It was just some type of machine gun. And it was sick. Yeah, it wasn't a Gatling gun. It was like some type of machine gun, and it's really cool. The weird thing is the machine gun sounds like a laser. It sounds like it belongs to Star Wars. I don't know who thought. Like, if you have a chance, go to YouTube and search up Django machine gun scene and just find that. It's where he's posted up on, like, a log and just shoots a bunch of KKK guys. For some reason, I don't know why, it sounds like a machine gun going off. But yeah, the movie's, like, good. It's definitely not one of my favorites. Maybe I need to rewatch it with the actual, like, Italian with English subtitles, and maybe it'll be better. The dialogue wasn't great. The performances, the physical performances were good. The dubs were horrible. There's, partway through, there's just, like, a really good fist fight, which was rare for back then. This was 1966. A lot of the times, like, fist fights in Westerns aren't really long and aren't very well done. It's generally, like, someone gets pistol whipped or someone will get backhanded. There might be, like, a kick thrown in randomly. Like, there's not anything intricate or that well done. It's very, like, dudes, like, wind up their punches. It's, like, there's not really a lot of memorable fist fights in Westerns. And this is probably the best fist fight I've ever seen in a Western. And from 1966, it's really well done. It's really cool. Like, it's that part, like, kind of woke me up. When I was watching the movie, just, like, going through it, and that part, I was like, holy crap, this is, like, I didn't expect this. And it's, like, a pretty long fight scene, too. It went on for a few minutes. It was really well done. There's some funny stuff. Like, there's a time where a guy gets shot, and the guy that shoots him, like, there's, like, the couple other shots before it, it's, like, standard, smoke's coming out of the barrel. Then, like, sound effect goes off, no smoke comes out of the barrel. There's a guy who gets his ear cut off and then shoved into his mouth, and then he gets pushed over, and you see he still has his ear attached to his head, so no one really thought that through. It's actually pretty bloody for an old Western, which was interesting, cool to see. Freaking, it's pretty brutal for a Western from the 60s, it's pretty brutal. But yeah, I enjoyed it. I enjoyed Django. I've been on a Western kick lately because I wanted to watch some Westerns. I was like, I haven't watched Westerns in a while. So I rewatched Unforgiven for the billionth time. Unforgiven, still awesome. I rewatched Once Upon a Time in the West, which I hadn't watched in a while. It's been years since I watched Once Upon in the West. That movie's still amazing. That movie's still so good. Oh man, Once Upon a Time in the West. Soundtrack's killer as well. And that, man, that one's, like, top three, I think, Westerns for me. That one's, Once Upon a Time in the West is, it's so good. Sergio Leone at his best. That might be better than Good, Bad, and the Ugly. It's hard. That and Good, Bad, and the Ugly for Leone's best. So good. I watched The Man Who Shot Liberty Valance for the first time, which is John Ford. You know, the man who pioneered the American Western. Classic Western. It's really good, but then something happens at the end. I don't really want to spoil it just in case you haven't seen it. It's on Amazon Prime, so if you want to watch it, you can do it there. I watched it because I saw the 4K was out, because I was looking. I was like, what 4K Westerns are there? And I was looking, and I saw, oh, there's a 4K for that. But then I saw it's on Amazon Prime. I was like, I'll watch it on Amazon Prime before I spend like $30 on a 4K. And it was really good, but then there's something with the ending that I was not a fan of. It's still good. It's still worth seeing. It's got Jimmy Stewart and John Wayne that give great performances. There's also a guy that actually steals the show. It plays the guy that is the like newspaper reporter / publisher. I think it's Mr. Peabody was his name in the movie. Everyone has like classic names like that. He was like, his performance was amazing. I don't know, I think they had the Oscars back then when that movie came out. I know the Oscars been around for a while. If that guy didn't win or get nominated, he should have been. He freaking, holy crap, especially when having Jimmy Stewart there was like one of the greats. And holding up with him, like, that guy was amazing. Also, something that was funny about that movie, though, was, like, the main bad guy, actor is great, phenomenal performance. His get-up is awful. He looks so dumb. The wardrobe department did him dirty. Also, what sucks is one of his goons is Lee Van Cleef, and Lee Van Cleef, it's impossible to not look cool. He's right next to him looking just fly as could be the entire movie. And it's like, it's bad when your right-hand man, like one of your goons, looks so much cooler than you and you're the main villain. Like, that's tough. Like, the main villain has a really cool voice, and again, the guy does a great job with him. But his wardrobe is awful. And it's like, man. And then you look right next to him, it's like, Lee Van Cleef, looking fly as hell. Just like, the coolest dude imaginable. It's like, aw, that's rough. That's rough getting shown up by Lee Van Cleef. But yeah, it's pretty good. Jimmy Stewart and John Wayne play off each other really well. It's about this like lawyer dude that goes out west. He's like a very educated guy from the east, and he goes out west. He gets robbed. He gets the crap kicked out of him by the main villain. And then he goes by Liberty Valance. And then he goes into town. He meets a girl. He gets like, they nurse him back to health. He works as like a dishwasher for them to try to help repay the people that like help him. John Wayne's the badass of the town, the only one that can stand up to Liberty Valance and his gang. And there's a really tense scene where in the restaurant, if you watch the movie, it's free. It's so good. Where John Wayne and Liberty Valance have their standoff, and you see like, ooh, Liberty Valance, this guy doesn't care about anyone. It's kind of a little scared of John Wayne. It's like, oh, John Wayne's freaking okay. So you see he's got some, and this is when John Wayne's older. Like, John Wayne ain't young John Wayne in this. John Wayne's like freaking, he got some wrinkle. He got some mileage. The Duke, he always kills it. Even if he was a really racist, like not great guy IRL. It's great in the movies though. You know, it was back in the day. Things were different. But yeah, that scene is freaking amazing. The one where they have that, like, they have their little standoff in the restaurant. And Jimmy Stewart's character, I liked a lot. Because he's he's this educated lawyer that goes to where everyone's kind of, like, retarded in the West. Like, no one can read. No one really knows what 2+2 is. People don't really know what the law is. Like, no, everyone's kind of just very dumb. And, he goes there and he, like, tries to educate people. He sets up, like, he even, like, starts teaching people, like, legitimately setting up classes, teaching people how to read and write. And you got people there that are, like, 16, that are, like, 10. And he also stands up for himself a lot. Like, he doesn't know how to shoot a gun. He doesn't know how to do anything. But he's trying to be, like, he educates people on, like, how to vote there in, like, a cool way, not, like, a 2024 freaking dumbass way where it's, like, go vote, but only for the people that I want you to vote for. Otherwise, you're evil. Not in that type of way. But yeah, it's cool. It was cool seeing it, like, talking about how, you had, like, the rich, so part of the thing they're fighting off is, like, the area that he was at was, like, wasn't a state yet. It was, like, just, like, a wild territory, and, the rich, like, ranchers there that, like, run everything hired Liberty Valance and the gang to, like, keep things the way they are, and they're, like, we don't want the, like, United States to come in here and make this a state. We want this to stay as like this so that way we can have control. Instead of if the United States come in, then all of a sudden they have states' rights and people have rights and like there's more democracy. It's like that's bad. Jimmy Stewart's like, no, that's good. And he stands up for himself again, even though like he's like this just kind of like wimpy lawyer. He's not very wimpy. He's not at all, even though you think he would be. And again, it's Jimmy Stewart, so he kills it. But yeah, I went off on that for a while. But that was a good, it was really good. And then just something happens with the ending that I'm like, that was kind of not executed the best. But yeah, nevertheless, you know, it's a John Ford Western, so of course it's going to be pretty good. And I quite enjoyed it. It's all in black and white, too. But yeah, I liked it better than Django. Django was good, but also Django was hurt by the horrific dub performance. The dub was so bad. But yeah, I think that's basically all I had to talk about. Again, sorry, there's not much to talk about right now. We've got Dune 2 coming out at the end of, actually in just like 2 weeks, which, I don't know, like freaking, I enjoyed the first Dune, but I didn't love it. And I never had heard of Dune till like Dune was coming out. And then it turns out there's Dune fans everywhere and everyone loves it. It's the best thing of all time. It's like, where did these people come from? I never heard anyone talking about Dune ever before the first Dune coming out. And now everyone's just like, yeah, I've been a fan of Dune forever. It's always the best thing of all time. It's like, okay. That's cool. But yeah, I need to rewatch the first Dune before this one comes out. I liked the first Dune. I didn't think it was like the best thing of all time, but I liked it. Duncan Idaho's the man. Jason Momoa carried that first movie for me. But I'm excited for this one. I hope it's good. And that's like the next movie to see. I got that, and then I got Kung Fu Panda 4. I think those are the two movies I got coming up. There's not a whole lot coming out, which is kind of bummer right now. We're in that dry spell of movies for the beginning of the year. But yeah, maybe we'll talk about Dune 2 on the podcast. I don't know. We'll see. But I hope you guys enjoyed. I just got to rant about some Westerns and The Killer for a little bit. But yeah, if you haven't seen The Killer, by the way, it's on Netflix and it's great. And it's from David Fincher. I was happy I got to see it in theaters twice, which is really cool. I hope they come out with a 4K for it, please, because I was looking that up and I saw that some Netflix original movies have gotten 4Ks, like some places have made 4Ks for them, so it's like, please do that, please. That, or I could go and freaking buy a bootleg from China on freaking eBay, where someone just like screen records on Netflix and then makes their own bootleg 4K. I don't want to do that. But yeah, anyways, thank you guys for listening, and I will see y'all next time. Goodbye.